And I remember hearing about Lorena, and it was intimidating because we knew that there was a strong presence in our community. I think people thought maybe that girls were mean, or I don't know, but we had the opportunity, if you were applying to the school, to come spend a day there. And so it completely dispelled any rumors for me because people were all very friendly in class with each other. They were welcoming to me. It was a really warm, welcoming environment.
Welcome to Elevate Your Career, the podcast dedicated to empowering individuals from all walks of life as they navigate the ever-changing landscape of their chosen fields. In this show, we'll be bringing on a diverse range of professionals from various career stages to uncover the secrets behind achieving success in any industry. We'll explore how they achieved their career goals and the path they took to get there. Your host is none other than Nicole McMackin, CEO of the Irvine Technology Corporation, ITC, an award-winning information technology solutions and staffing provider. Now let's get to the show.
Welcome to Elevate Your Career, where on today's episode, we will explore the fascinating world of single-sex education and its profound impact on individuals' careers. I'm your host, Nicole McMackin, and this episode will delve into the unique experiences, successes, and insights of those who have thrived after attending an all-girls school. From the classrooms of all-girls institutions to the boardrooms of Fortune 500 companies, single-sex education has shaped the trajectories of countless professionals. But what is it about the single education model that cultivates such remarkable achievement? And how do graduates navigate the complexities of the modern workforce, armed with the lessons learned in these specialized environments? Join us as we uncover the stories of individuals who credit their single-sex education with providing them skills, confidence, and networks needed to excel in their chosen fields. Through candid interviews and thought-provoking discussions, we'll explore the nuances of single-sex education and its enduring influence on career development. On today's show, we have Dr. Emily Blodgett, and a graduate with a degree from the University College Cork School of Medicine in Cork, Ireland. She currently is an associate professor at UC Irvine and a board-certified health specialist for infectious diseases. In addition, we're going to have Vicky Chow join us. She graduated from Lorena High School in 1998. She continued her education at Harvard University, where she graduated cum laude from Harvard and became a federal prosecutor for the U.S. Attorney's Office, where she represented hundreds of criminal cases. She's now a law partner at a private practice, and she practices law for individuals and representing individuals and companies, in high-stakes businesses, disputes, and criminal matters. And then we have Gabriella Rignardello, who also graduated from an all-girls school, received her undergraduate degree from Stanford University. She founded a very successful nonprofit organization, and she serves as a vice president of FICA, a seed stage venture capital firm. And then we have Juliana Shane, who's joining us. She's an entrepreneur, social media marketer, and journalist. She received her undergraduate degree from Cal State Northridge and then continued on to the University of Oxford, where she received a degree in video and film production, and then on again to another university where she received her degree from communication and media from the University of New Hampshire. Whether you're a product of a single-sex schooling, curious about the potential benefits, or simply intrigued by the connection between education and career success, this podcast will be your guide to understanding how people thrive professionally after attending single-sex institutions. So tune in and let's embark on a journey of discovery together. Welcome to today's show. I am so beyond thrilled to have actually my first show with multiple people on it. As you all know and have been listening, it's just really me and doing deep dive interviews with one other individual around elevating their career and their secret sauce. And on today's show, I have a multitude of people. I have four individuals who are here who are, were part of Lorena, which is a middle school and high school located in Thousand Oaks here in Southern California. And our topic today is going to be surrounding really why girls' schools or one gender sex schools and the benefits, the pros, the cons of those schools. And we have three graduates in particular that are just quite astounding and amazing. And really just wanted to dive deep down. I know that I think Lorena is actually in a lawsuit right now, believe it or not, because there are individuals who are trying to save the school and relocate the school. Juliana, I know that you're part of Lorena and that whole organization. Can you share a little bit? And I know there were some potential asks as well as we hit in and go through this podcast, but I'd love to turn it over to you for a moment.
Yes. And thank you so much for having all of us and also for just sounding the merits of an all-girls school. All of us here attended, graduated from Lorena and know how valuable it is. And we received notice early January from the administration that runs the school that it will be closing at the end of this year. And it left a lot of students scrambling last minute to find new schools, which was it's very difficult to do, especially for juniors. And so there's a lawsuit pending to try to keep the school open for at least another year to give everybody a chance to find another location to really just continue this education that's been so valuable for so many. We just don't have enough time with the time that we are given. So what we're doing at the moment is we are looking for an investor so that we can continue this education at another location. We have found a spot in Moore Park that's a beautiful campus. And so if we can, we're kind of just calling everybody, if you know anybody that might be interested in investing in girls' future, it's a fantastic opportunity. We're in talks with different people, but we're really looking for the best fit. So if you know anybody, our contact information is SaveLareina@gmail.com. And we would love everybody's help so that these young women can go on to be successful ladies like the ones we're going to talk to today.
Thank you. And I know a dear friend of mine had brought this to my attention, and it really got me thinking about education and how an all-girls school or all-boys school is perceived in today's day and time. I wasn't quite sure if it was that the school was closing because there wasn't enough individuals who wanted to be part of the school, but I don't think that's the case. In fact, I think that's the opposite. So let's do everything we can to help. And I love as this podcast goes out globally, and I get comments and emails back each day, especially for those business opportunists out there who are investors. It's a great opportunity for an investment portfolio, as there would be land involved and then Lorena would be leasing back the land. So at a high percentage rate, I'm sure, for those investors who are always looking at doing something different, who are listening right now. So, but let's break the hearsay and let's go straight to the sources. On the advantages and disadvantages of a single-sex school. We have Emily, we have Gabriella, we have Vicky here today to speak with us. And I've already gone over their tremendous profiles at the beginning of the podcast. And when I was sent them, I thought, wow, okay, I'm nervous. I'm a little nervous to be speaking with them now. Very accomplished. And Emily and I were speaking just before the podcast about UC Irvine. She's the associate professor there. And I don't know, somebody really smart also graduated from UC Irvine, me. So we were just kind of laughing at what a wonderful institution and so much success that you have all had. So let's jump into it. Vicky, I will start with you. Just really wanting to get down to, what was the motivation? Was it you or your family? And what was your thought initially? And what year, how old were you when you started Lorena? Was it something that you wanted to go to, or kind of your parents made you do?
I joined Lorena late because it was a 7 to 12 school and I didn't start until ninth grade. So I had started a private elementary school and then had gone to public school, which had served me well until middle school. And then at the time that I was there, I joined Lorena in 1994. So the few years before, they were doing these experimental math programs. And we spent an entire year learning just the Pythagorean theorem. And so my parents sort of freaked out and they looked around and we weren't looking specifically for an all-girls school, but Lorena was convenient and had strong academics. And so we went there. But having gone through the experience and now having three daughters, I really want my daughters to go to an all-girls school because it was invaluable for me.
And Gabriella, what about you? Was it a decision where your family made, or it was somewhere that you really wanted to go to an all-girls school?
Yeah, so I actually joined, I came to Lorena for seventh grade because I went to Pinecrest Elementary, which is kind of funny because I think the land that's, you know, under consideration is actually Pinecrest and Moore Park. I went to the one in Thousand Oaks that sadly closed down. Anyway, so I was there through sixth grade and I think my parents were trying to figure out where I would go next. And both my parents actually went to all girls and all boys schools respectively. So my dad's from Peru. It's very, very common that actually a lot of schools there are single sex. And then my mom is actually from England. So she went to all girls boarding school, I think most of middle school, even elementary school and then high school. So for them, it was kind of like the natural choice, like the tradition. But I think because I loved my experience so much, I have a younger sister who's 5 years younger than me. She ended up going there as well. And it was quite nice because we actually overlapped my senior year, her seventh grade year. But it became not a question that she was going to go there because I think the experience was so exceptional. And she kind of saw what I'd gone through and the friendships I had coming through Lorena that she herself was actually very excited to follow in that path. But yeah, I mean, I guess it was not necessarily a choice, but I think once I was there, I didn't want to leave. And I really, really enjoyed my 7 years, or I guess 6 years, sorry, 6 years there.
I've heard quite a bit. And I think there's, in other countries, it's really common, like your mother in England going to boarding school. And it really on the East Coast as well, not only boarding school, but single sex gender schools. And so that's been a big thing. And it has not really been in Southern California. There's a spattering of a few different schools, but not to the level of, I believe, and that I hear about really on the East Coast and boarding schools. And it's quite more common there than it is on the West Coast. And Emily, how did you start out? Was this something that you drove to, that you wanted to be at an all-girls school, or was this something that your parents made a decision about?
So I think I'm a little bit different. I started in eighth grade at Lorena. I left to start high school in a different school, and I ended up coming back my sophomore year. The first time I started in eighth grade, that was really my parents' decision. I was at a private elementary school too, but they were looking at, you know, a different school, one that maybe I could transition into high school right away. So I went there in eighth grade. And then I ended up going to the high school where my sister went for my freshman year. But I ended up deciding that I liked Lorena a lot more. So I actually ended up coming back to Lorena my sophomore year in high school and finished and graduated there. So I was kind of a little bit both. Like first it was my parents and then it was me. I felt that the friendships I made actually, even in that 1 year in eighth grade and kind of the support I received there was a lot more than in the other high school that I went to. So I decided to come back.
Thank you. That is a little bit different path. And I love that you had an opportunity to say, hey, this was really beneficial and I want to actually return, which is great. It shows something on itself. So some of the challenges, and I'm sure that you all have heard, and when you probably speak about your high school experience or middle school experience and at an all-girls school, I don't know if you've ever been met with an inquisitive, wow, How was that? Because in today's society, there's a multitude of thought around one gender school, right? We hear things about socialization challenges. We hear things about an all-girls school, the lack of male role models, lack of preparation for real-world diversity, and you know, even perhaps real-world perspective. And so it's really all around diversity. And this is both for all male schools and all female schools. And I'd be really curious to speak with you a little bit about, have you ever had any of those? And what are your experiences been? I mean, Gabriella, have you ever experienced at your level any, because of your experiences at Lorena and all girls school, any socialization challenges?
I think if anything, it gave me more self-confidence as a woman and like as a female leader. I think I was, you know, my parents had a lot of friends who all had sons that all went to local high schools. So I actually felt like I was actually quite, I mean, I don't know, integrated or, you know, friends with a lot of the people that were at, you know, Westlake High School, Thousand Oaks High School. So I felt like I actually could have a lot of the, call it co-ed socialization. You know, I went to, I think, Westlake homecoming and or prom, like most of the years in high school. But I felt like I was able to have that kind of like socialization separate from the academic part of my life, where I could be really, really focused in the classroom and, you know, making sure I was getting good grades and in my AP classes and whatnot. But then, you know, when I wanted to, you know, go to the local football game or whatever it was, I had friends who, you know, would invite me, and I would be able to kind of experience those parts of, call it the more co-ed public education. So I felt like it was actually quite balanced, and maybe that was just a function of, you know, my family friend circles, but it served me well. And I think when I, you know, went into college, I felt like I had the right, you know, head on my shoulders as it related to focus on academics, but as well as having, you know, the, you know, co-ed social experience to know how to navigate that as well.
Sure. And that makes sense. And, you know, you hear oftentimes with single sex schools, in particular with all girls schools, it leadership opportunities, right? It provides more opportunities for women or young girls to take on roles such as in student government or ASB or different clubs and sports teams. I know this is audio, but you guys are all nodding. And so, you know, Vicky, I mean, is that true? Or are you feeling more compelled to be yourself and be able to step out of that because it's a single sex school?
I think it is absolutely true. And as you noted, everyone was nodding. So I think we all feel some elements of that. I think it is a challenge. We as a society are doing better and recognizing that we need to evaluate people. Despite everyone's best efforts, there is still implicit bias. I'm maybe not articulating this in the best way, but my feeling is men and women carry themselves differently. People have views about what confidence should look like and what a leader should look like. And when you are in a mixed gender school, people may view some positions as, you know, this type of person is better suited for leadership positions. And that person is oftentimes a guy. Where if you're in a single sex school, when you're in an all-girls school, all the presidents, the captains, everyone is a girl. And there isn't, you have that confidence of knowing that it creates confidence for you to be in those positions. And you get to those positions because there isn't going to be the implicit bias that's getting in your way. Someone probably has a better way of explaining that. But
no, I think that's an amazing way to explain it. And I certainly, as you were explaining, I can see that happening because I do think, I mean, if you look at, you know, just IT in general, right? So we look in technology, there's 26% of women in IT altogether, right? 28 in the US, 28% globally. And of the leaders of that 26%, it vacillates, right? It's anywhere from only 10% of the 26%. It can go up to the highest is during time periods of 25%. But I wonder now that in hearing what you're saying, you know, I mean, my gosh, wouldn't that be fantastic for women to get into a cycle of leadership and believing and having the knowledge and acumen to know that they can do something and they're not competing against. Really, you look at the workforce, right? What are we, 52% of the workforce, but we hold less than 20% of the leadership positions in the country. And so I do believe that that is something. And I look at all of your backgrounds and you know, Vicky, you graduated from Harvard and you're a federal prosecutor for the U.S. Attorney's Office. And I'm thinking you're still doing that if I'm correct. And, you know,
I'm a partner at a law firm now, but
oh, you are. Oh, you went to the dark side. You went to the dark side. No, actually, it's not the dark side. No, but all of you are very, very successful, and I can see by the work that you've done is that you've had that instilled. Emily, do you feel the same? Do you feel that from a socialization standpoint that it actually wasn't a deterrent, but more helpful for you in your career to move yourself forward?
At the beginning, when you start when you're allowed to be in leadership positions, at the beginning, it kind of just propels itself for it to continue as you're moving on. Whereas I think if you were necessarily in a co-education situation, not all the time, but I was, you know, at Lorena playing Laura some years ago, so it's different now, I think, but you know, say as freshmen, you start in probably in a co-education system that may have started with boys at the time, starting with that, and that just kind of propels itself so that sophomore year it's going to be the same people, maybe, and junior year it's the same people, and senior year. So it kind of just, I don't know if it's a bias, but it's just the same people who are kind of have been doing it. It's more likely they're going to continue doing it.
Sure.
Experience doing it. And so I think it really makes a difference that, you know, girls when they're freshmen or, you know, even seventh, eighth grade, that have that opportunity and can get the experience to continue on and do it. Whereas it may not have happened, you know, otherwise they may not have had the opportunity at all.
Sure. Sure. Which makes sense. Do you feel that there was a lack of male role models for you while you attended an all-girls school?
Not really. I mean, I think there were definitely teachers there who, I'm sure some of the other women can speak to it too. But, you know, there were some vice principals and things like that everyone looked up to, that he was quite beloved in the school, you know. And so I think we had both, you know. I think we had women teachers, but I think there were, you know, male teachers. I'm thinking of one in particular who also was there. And a lot of the students would look up to him as well. So I don't think it was necessarily a lack of that.
Okay.
There isn't really a society-wide a shortage of male role models, but there are a shortage of female role models. So I was happy to be in a place with female role models. And I want my kids to be in a place with female role models.
Yeah. And Vicky, speaking of, you know, role models and, you know, the education that you all said that you've received, do you notice any differences? Are your children in co-ed school?
Yes, I have a really perfect anecdote for this podcast, actually, that just happened last week. My daughter, who is six, she's in first grade, is at a co-ed school, and we love the school, but she was taking chess last semester as her after-school enrichment, and she was the only girl in the chess class. At first, she was really proud that she was the only girl in the chess class. And then we asked her recently if she wanted to renew for the second semester. And she said she was tired of being the only girl in the chess class and wanted to do something else. And I just thought that is such a shame. And there is that pressure and there is that influence when you are the only person doing something. And if you were at an all-girl school, everyone in your chess program is a girl.
And do you feel that, I mean, this speaks really to all of you. So you had an opportunity to be in chess yourself and, or after school programs, it was all girls. When you graduated and you went to college, unless anyone went to an all female college, was there a shock level there? And Gabriella, I know you said you were, you know, going to proms and dances and different activities and mixing in your social life, but how did you feel when you left Lorena and kind of were put into a really mixed environment for college?
I mean, I think at The nice thing about Lorena is I think when you're in your most, or maybe one of your most critical, like, developmental times as it relates to, like, you as a woman, right? Like, you get to be with all, you know, all girls, and you have all these, you know, female role models you can look up to, and you can kind of, like, see yourself, like, in them, whether it's, like, the upperclassmen or the teachers or whoever it is. And I think, I think by personally, at least by the time I got to college, I was ready to be at in a co-ed situation. But I think I naturally gravitated towards finding called the Lorena proxy, right? So I know my freshman year, I joined Stanford Women in Business. I joined a sorority. I've always, and then that's actually even persisted in my professional career, where I've tried to uplift women in a variety of different ways. I'm part of a group called Synergist, which is for women in finance, which is another slice of the industry. I'm sure, like doctors and lawyers, that you do see fewer women statistically, right? But I think, like, the hardest thing is, like, if you can't, similar to, you know, Vicky, you mentioned your daughter, like, if you can't see others like yourself participating in whether it's a career, an activity, or an extracurricular, it's hard to envision yourself, like, staying in that career. So I think, you know, what I got from Lorena was, like, finding my communities that tend to be female oriented as a way to find myself in 5-10 years from now. So I have someone I can kind of look up to and, you know, mirror myself after, but then also do that for the folks that are, you know, 5-10 years behind me. Right.
Gabriella, you graduated from Stanford University.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when you left Lorena and went to Stanford, did you find that there, or did you encounter any misconceptions or stereotypes about attending an all-girls school?
Not really. I mean, I don't know. I think it's, like, it also matters how you present that fact about yourself.
Are you ready to break barriers and become the next CIO in the tech world? Here's the exciting news. We've custom designed a groundbreaking course specifically for female executives interested in becoming CIOs. And the best part? It's absolutely free. This women's leadership course is the first of its kind to support female leaders in technology. The program delves into real-life scenarios that CIOs face daily. Whether they're leading small enterprises or vast Fortune 500 companies. So if you're a manager, director, or VP of technology, this course is a perfect fit for you. Current CIOs and technology leaders will take you on a 15-week journey, guiding you through a 360-degree view of what it takes to be a CIO, the pragmatics of implementing IT governance, the foundations of C-suite level project management and portfolios, and so much more. Ready to take a leap of faith in your career? Go to www.irvinetechcorp.com/program, and the link is in the description box. If you want to contribute to a more inclusive and equitable tech world for women, you can start at www.irvinetechcorp.com/program. Join us in our next course for the Women in Leadership program and be part of this exciting journey. Now back to the show.
So I didn't find it to be an issue. I think there was even some other, you know, friends in my dorm that also went to single sex schools. I know there were a decent number of folks that went to, like, Catholic schools or religious, like, just generally, like, religious schools. So I guess there's camaraderie in that, but I didn't find it to be kind of an issue or a stereotype.
And Lorena is a Catholic all-girls school, right?
Yes.
So it's got, but I'd be interested. Do you today, in today's flash forward, do you feel that there's a negative connotation? And this is for all of you, Juliana, you too. I'd love to hear what your thoughts on this. Do you think there's a negative connotation to single sex schools as diversity has really come to the forefront in the last 6-7 years? That's kind of the big criticism around single sex schools. How do you see it?
I mean, I think there's two sides to this, right? Because I do think, you know, I can speak to the fact that, like, inherently, probably a function of maybe more like Southern California, Thousand Oaks specifically, like, maybe there wasn't the most diverse student population at Lorena, and you probably get a more diverse student population, you know, and I'm now live in LA, so call it going to a school in LA Unified. But I mean, I think it's trying to find, like, the right fit for the student that is going to school at that point, right? And I think also where you live. But I think there are two sides. I mean, I think for me personally, it was a great experience. I think when I have kids, I will evaluate for my kids, like what is going to be the best experience for them, especially living in a city versus in a more suburban area. But I wouldn't trade my experience because I have some of my best friends. My table is still intact. It's like the most lively group chat that I am a part of. I wouldn't trade those 6 years for anything. But yeah, I mean, the connotation is it's loaded. So maybe I'll let somebody else contribute to that question. So
yeah. Yeah. Juliana, what say you?
So I came from public school, which is, I had a difficult time in, and I remember hearing about Lorena, and it was intimidating because we knew that there was a strong presence in our community. I think people thought maybe the girls were mean, or I don't know what we had the opportunity, if you were applying to the school, to come spend a day there. And so it completely dispelled any rumors for me because people were all very friendly in class with each other. They're welcoming to me. It was a really warm, welcoming environment. That's the only thing I can think of as far as any negative stereotypes that I heard of in our community at the time. I haven't ever encountered anything as far as lack of diversity with boys being there. The school is kind of reflective, like Gabriella said, of the community, of the makeup of the community, but they are also very, very welcoming to all and to anybody who might need any financial assistance. So I think while we've put the story out to the public, it's been important to note that we're asking to save a school that's not just made up of a bunch of rich white people. That's kind of like a stereotype that we've heard. It's an opportunity for any girl. We don't like to turn anybody down who has any financial needs. So any girl who wants to excel, and there are plenty of students who are taking advantage of that and who are getting education that wouldn't otherwise be able to. So I think really it's kind of a lot more open than other schools that I've heard of to diversity and giving every girl an opportunity to have an incredible education.
So maybe diversity and socioeconomic diversity.
Yeah.
Not gender diversity. Got it. And I think you brought up, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, Gabriella. One thing I'll clarify about what I said. I think, and Juliana, you pointed out a very good point. I think if you're comparing Lorena to like other private schools, it is definitely much more diverse. Because I think there is a clarification between like private and public. Because if you look at other local ones, they're much more expensive. They're, you know, maybe bigger hurdles to get there. And I think the nature of being all girls, being much more inclusive, also the merit scholarships and all that comes with that, I actually do think like it is more diverse in that spectrum. So you kind of have to compare apples to apples if you're looking at the diversity picture. So just to edit my comment earlier.
So you brought up an interesting point, Juliana, that even in I speak to it quite a bit about women, and you said mean girls. And it just triggered something in a thought that I had. And that probably could be a reason that many girls don't perhaps want to be in an all-girls environment. And I'm so glad to hear that it was more than welcoming and made great friendships and things there, because oftentimes you hear, and we've all experienced it, there's one seat at the table. And instead of pulling up another chair, right, we are all fighting for that one seat at the table as we evolve into our careers. And I believe that women are less reluctant or more reluctant, I'm sorry, to help other women move up through their careers because they've had to fight so hard to get into that one seat. And it sounds like what you've experienced, which is really, really different than kind of that general thought and philosophy around women helping other women. And that was, you know, you've gone into a situation where it's only women, it's only girls. And it sounded like, from your experience, very welcoming. And you know, and we're not generalizing that, you know, there aren't people that, you know, that are not nice, right? Because there are, it doesn't matter where you go in what grouping. But so that's really wonderful to hear. And did you, Emily and Vicky, feel the same, that it was very welcoming?
I did, actually. That was one reason why I actually switch back to Lorena because I did feel that way at the other school that I attended, where it was a little bit more like that, not being very welcoming at all. And so that is, I found it the opposite myself when I went back to Lorena for sure.
I would not have gone into Harvard. I would not be where I am today without the upperclassmen that pulled me up with them. My parents were immigrants. They did not know anything about the U.S. system. They didn't know about extracurriculars, college applications, anything like that. They didn't know about SATs. I had to learn all of that. And the people that were teaching me were a lot of upperclassmen. And, you know, I got into the activities that I did. Speech and debate would probably is a huge contributor to why I'm a litigator now. You know, mock trial, that was all senior classmen, or not senior, but people a year or two older than me who started these activities and said, "Hey, Vicky, do you want to do this?" And I thought, that sounds fun. And so there was a real camaraderie and a very positive, welcoming spirit.
And so, Vicky, that wasn't the school having upperclassmen reach out to you?
No.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
It was just organic.
Wow. That's unusual.
I owe them my career. I felt the same way too.
And I remember specific upperclassmen who helped me and introduced me to a lot of those different activities.
Now, I touched on a little bit. I had asked you, Vicky, about the differences in learning environments with all girls school versus what you see in a co-ed environment. Emily, you know, Juliana, Gabriella, do you see differences in education-wise or learning environments from an all single-sex school versus a co-ed school?
Yeah, well, I can say one of the things that had my mom moving me over was the lack of teachers really even knowing who I was. My teacher read my English paper to the class as an example of a perfect paper. And after reading it, she said, "Oh, and Juliana, you get an F because you didn't turn in your paper." And I said, "You just read my paper to the class as the example." But she really didn't know who I was. And I was just kind of another number, you know, in the school. And I was really fighting to kind of be anybody. I had a lot of trouble with the boys in the class, just again, kind of like being swallowed up, not having an identity, and it becoming less and less cool to be smart. And at Lorena, the cool kids are the smart kids. I mean, it's cool to be smart. It's cool to be in clubs. It's cool to excel. And you can be in theater. I was in theater as well. I mean, all those things, sports, just being good at what you do is just naturally cool. And it's just interesting to look back at my time when it was co-ed and how I could feel myself kind of shrinking in order to fit in and all of that. So that's the comparison I would make.
What I would agree is I think not necessarily that it was an all girls, and I know that's what we're discussing here, but the class size, and it was very small, and I think your teachers knew you and they knew you quite well. So I think for me, that was more about the learning experience. And of course, there is some all girls, right? You know, you can just kind of, you know, without appearing too nerdy or whatever, which may not be, you know, interesting if you were at a co-ed school. But I think it was the size, really, and the focus in such a small class size that made that the difference.
Well, and I think smaller class size leads to more attention, and more attention leads to more clarity in regards to answering questions and subject matter expertise, et cetera. So I agree. Funny kind of different thing. I grew up, my family owned private school. Actually, it's called the Phoenix Ranch, and it was in Simi Valley. And Gabriella Pinecrest ended up a few years ago buying them out. And so I grew up, it was co-ed, but I grew up in the private school industry, right? I actually attended public school, believe it or not. And then our family got into private schools, but I worked at a private school It was preschool through middle school for several years. And I really saw the benefit, to your point, Emily and Vicky, about small class sizes and the difference that it made in different children's lives. So some people, they had sent their children because of class size and just being able, because they were getting lost, Juliana, like you, getting lost in the system, right? Reading a paper and then telling you that very next, that your paper, you didn't turn it in when they just read your paper, right? So, and it's funny because I follow you, flash forward, gosh, oh, what is this now? 25 years later, and I'm still friends with some of the students. They follow me on Instagram and Facebook and things, but in watching their career soar, it's been a wonderful encounter and experience for them. A question I would have for you is, what advice would you all give to young women who are actually considering attending an all-girls school? Is there specific advice that you would give to them in venturing in and into an all-girls school? Vicky, what say you?
I guess if you're asking about what to do once you're there, I don't know that the advice is any different than going to a co-ed school. Make the most of your opportunities, make friends, study hard, find things you're passionate about. But that there are more opportunities for that for women at an all-girls school.
And do you all feel the same? That would be kind of your thoughts and advice to them.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think my advice would be different whether they were going to an all-girls school or to a co-ed school necessarily.
And another question I have is, Gabrielle, it sounds like you have for certain, because it says you're in a robust chat. Have you all maintained connections or relationships with your classmates? And if so, how have they influenced your life post-graduation? Vicky, those upperclassmen that you said had influenced you and helped pull you up to get you, you know, to apply into Harvard and where you are in your career, they've had some significant influence on you. But have any of you stayed in contact with these individuals, and have they influenced you outside of Lorena?
Well, I stayed in contact with several of my classmates. I don't know that they've influenced me, just because we've stayed such good friends. It's like no time has passed. I think it's, you know, very special to be friends with somebody that you knew from childhood, because you don't have to explain anything. But also significantly, I've stayed in touch with teachers. I don't know that always happens. So just a few years ago, one of our most beloved teachers, Mrs. Potts, is like the best writer and English teacher I know. And so when my husband and I were getting married, we just kept coming back to her for helping us write our vows. So I called her and she was happy to do it. And it was just so special that she could help me in something so significant. And so that's just another thing. You get to really, really know your teachers, and they get to know you, and they highlight what's special about you so that you can go on in life and carry that with you.
I'm going to try not to cry, but when you bring up teachers, my mom passed in 2010, and a cohort of Lorena teachers showed up because I was one of three girls also. And so my mom was on campus for many, many years. And it was so amazing that our high school teachers showed up to support us. And they said, you know, we remembered your mom for so many years, and we're so sorry she's gone.
That is incredible. That's so wonderful, Vicky. Super heartwarming. What questions that I haven't asked, I'm sure there are some that I've missed asking that are really important, or a story that you want to share or tell in regards to your experience at Lorena and being part of an all-girls school? Is there something I've missed asking that is really critical that you would say, gosh, I wish she would have asked me about this?
I'm not sure necessarily, but I would just reiterate, I think the female friendships that I made there have been the longest lasting that I've had. And we still have, you know, the group chats, as well as maybe the monthly meals that we all get together. And I don't necessarily have that with other groups that I've kept in touch with. And just the support, you know, dealing with whether it's families, whether it's career, all of those, just having that. And so I've been really grateful. And of course, you can have that, you know, with others. And just like Gabriella, I was also in a sorority at Stanford and tried to, you know, develop female friendships as well that way. But I still think that the Lorena experience was the deepest friendships that I've had.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, we've all gone to each other's weddings. I think we still like, we'll get together, try to get together once a year, and we're still kicked out of restaurants when we laugh too hard. It's like literally like nothing has changed. Yeah, I mean, I think I agree that it's the deepest group of female friendships I have. There's 10 of us, and it's quite special. And I think we all come maybe in and out of each other's lives, and there's like the group chat keeping us all together, or the wedding's keeping us together. And, you know, some people are closer than others, but I think it's quite unique to have a group that is like that tight after, I mean, for me, it's been 12 years since I graduated. Right. So,
well, and
it sounds like even longer for others.
I do wonder if the closeness that you all feel and the connectivity after long periods of time and staying that close within those groups has anything to do with, because there were no males at the school. Sometimes you see that it almost becomes a distraction for women when males or people of the opposite sex are there. I'm part of a group called Young Presidents Organization, and I was the first woman to join in the Orange County chapter. And it was interesting. And one of the reasons that they didn't have women in the chapter before, and it's an international organization, was because it would affect the dynamic of the group. And so they wouldn't be able to be themselves or discuss certain things if there was a woman there. And I'm wondering if that closeness of an all-girls school or a single-sex school is because the opposite sex is not a distraction, it is not there, that you could be your authentic self with other people and be who you want and without a facade. And that might be something that you're really grounded in with these relationships, because there wasn't any distraction there or anything to think about or perhaps fight about or compete for. I don't know. What do you think, Juliana?
I think it's a testament to all of that, that 1 week after the announcement of disclosure, we had formed this grassroots organization where we had a department of attorneys, we had a PR team, we had a media team, we had a social media team, we had 250 people show up for a protest. I don't think that would have happened at other schools, but we knew how to jump into action. And it was like, this is messing with our family. And even though I now I'm about to have my 30th reunion, 30 years, and we're in our own Facebook group, I'm also talking to faculty members that went back and worked there. So they're in my same class. And some of them I haven't spoken to since we graduated, but it was like, there's still such a bond where I could say, what do you need, and be there. And, you know, we can text nightly now if they're having struggles, or within our group, just the chat that goes on, there doesn't need to be any kind of like awkwardness because we haven't spoken in all of this time. There's such an understood foundation there of this bond. And I think if boys had been there, it would have gotten in the way of our own identity and just the solid foundation of the connection between us. So I think that's the only reason we have been so successful in this movement, is because we were there for each other then, we're there for each other now, and the bonds are just so much stronger because of it.
And Juliana, as we're near ending the podcast, tell us again how people can get involved if they were interested.
The first thing is our contact information is an email, save Lorena. So save Lareina at gmail.com. And the number one thing we're looking for now is an investor to help us to purchase this beautiful campus nearby, so that we can possibly lease from them to continue. Most faculty is on board. And that's really the heart and soul of our school. So they've agreed, most of them, to come over to that school and continue this incredible education.
Wonderful. That's wonderful. Now, I just wanted to ask each of you, when just in one word, if you can describe your experience at Lorena All Girls School in just one word before we end the podcast, what would that be, Emily?
Yes, I would say what I learned most is confidence. I think being myself and confidence, I think that's what I developed most out of it.
Fabulous. Gabriella?
Emily stole my word. self-confidence and independence. So I'm using two words there, maybe three if you're counting the hyphenation. But yeah, I think the confidence really was the big takeaway from being at Lorena.
Vicky?
I would say supported will be my word, that whatever we wanted to do, a teacher found a way. Mrs. DeBruno would drive us to where we need to go. The commitment of the faculty was amazing.
And Juliana?
I think identity, that when you looked to your teachers, they reflected back who you were and helped you to become confident in who you were, to know that who you were was beautiful and special, and to embrace it and to fly with it.
So it's interesting that you all have chosen those words because they really all relate together. So if you look at women in their careers, the biggest challenge is not that they are not qualified for positions. In fact, sometimes they're even overqualified. They're perfectionists. And so they decide not to move themselves forward. Why? Because they lack the confidence to move themselves forward. How do they move themselves forward, Vicky? It's with support, right? And Juliana, then learning and understanding their real identity and who they are. And so really interesting, this circle, which you've all said. And so, but it you can tell by how well and the positions that you've had and the experiences that, I mean, what an education. So I wish it for years to come. And I'm really hopeful that this campaign will work out. I think from an investment standpoint, it would be really nice opportunity for an investor. And then it will do good as well and help save a school that sounds like has really touched so many of you in your lives. I wanted to thank each of you for being on today and your contribution and really helping us break down the stereotypes of single-sex education. I think it's been valuable for our listeners and hopefully people who are listening and deciding to, you know, for their children or for themselves to go to an all-boys or all-girls school, this will have made a difference. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed the episode today on the Elevate Your Career podcast. Make sure to hit subscribe on your chosen platform that you are listening to us on. If this episode made you think of someone, go ahead, take a screenshot and share this episode with them, or post it on your social media to share with your friends. You can catch the show notes for this episode and any mentioned links in the description of this episode. Irvine Technology Corporation, ITC, excels at finding top-tier tech professionals and matching them with businesses. Whether you're an employer with tech opportunities or a tech professional searching for the perfect role, ITC is your go-to solution. Visit www.irvinetechcorp.com for more information. Once again, it's www.irvinetechcorp.com. We'll see you on the next episode.